The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hola, welcome to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club with your host, the man from the land of Lincoln Heights, that is, David Hernandez, and from the city of San Fernando, Jeffy Gergenti. You heard it right, Hispanic Republicans. Why? Because brown is the new red, Republican red. So listen up and hear what being a Republican is really all about. Faith, family, and free enterprise. It's time to wake up and see how the chorizo is made and smell the menudo. And who knows, you just may be a Republican after all.
Who knows, you just might be a Republican after all. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. And guess what? I'm not David Hernandez. I'm happy to be sitting in tonight. It's Jennifer Kennedy. Usually you hear me later in the program as the Legal Eagle, but tonight I get to sit in for David Hernandez and Jeffy Gergenti. Happy to be here. David is down at the California Republican Assembly Convention. Thank you, David, for doing that with a lot of our Patriot friends who are down there. And Jeffy, who, as you know, is a very successful businesswoman. She is working hard on producing more inventory. So we will see her again. But tonight we've got a really big show and some great guests in studio with us. And first of all, we've got independent journalist Anthony Cabasa, who is going to be with us with all of his perspective on the border, as well as Michael McMahon, who is our assembly candidate in Assembly District 41 and the former 14-year L.A. Police Department officer terminated under those awful, unconstitutional vaccine mandates at the city of L.A. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having us on.
Glad to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You bet. I wanted to start on a really happy note tonight quickly. You know, they always accuse me of being a buzzkill sometimes, but tonight it's a happy night because it is April 22nd, 2023, and tonight is the night of the prom at Granada Hills Charter.
Oh, that's right.
And this is super exciting because our listeners know, whoever follows me, whoever follows this show, we have been fighting Granada Hills Charter since the fall of 2021. Over their cruel and stupid vaccine mandate against the children at that school. And last year, they stole prom, they stole grad night, they stole the graduation ceremony from unvaccinated kids. And this year, they were doing the same. This year, they started the year saying that they would not be allowing unvaccinated students to go to the prom. And they stayed firm with that, even as students and parents complained and basically begged, can we please go to the prom? Why can't we go? It's off campus. It's at Ronald Reagan Library, and there is no vaccination requirement. And the answer was no, that's our policy. Well, we have continued our grassroots pushback against this type of tyranny at Granada Hills Charter. And suddenly, a couple of weeks ago, suddenly the policy changed. And they announced that they would be allowing unvaccinated students to go to prom. So tonight, as of a couple hours ago, those students loaded up on the buses at Granada Hills Charter. They are at the Ronald Reagan Library. And I'm so happy to say that everybody who wanted to go to prom should be at prom right now. So that's a big victory, and it's something to celebrate tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are only tuning in, you're not able to see the beautiful smile that our host here has tonight. I'm sure this is a great night for you and the students and for freedom fighters everywhere.
So it is. It is.
Kudos to you for all your hard work.
Well, thank you. And it's not over. It's not over because, and we can get into it later in the show, that they made this change to one of their policies on campus at Granada Hills called the COVID-19 Safety Plan. And they made it really clear that, oh, no, they haven't changed their vaccination mandate at all. So the crazy inconsistency happens. We can see it right now that unvaccinated kids are going to prom, which is fantastic. They're going to be there all night long for hours. They've ridden on a bus there. They're going to ride a bus home. But those same unvaccinated students come Monday will not be allowed to come on campus to go to class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's really it. Every moment that Granada Hills erodes its own enforcement of these policies just continues to demonstrate how arbitrary they are and how they are not related to health and safety. But it's all about ego and control. So we're not done. We're going to keep moving.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So one of the things that I'm really glad we have you all in studio for tonight is exploding on national news, and certainly here in California, is our border crisis on our southern border. And I wanted to bring that up because one of the big things in the news this week was this shocking revelation that thousands and thousands of migrant children are missing. And Anthony, I wanted to ask you to start us off on that topic about what is that? How are we missing that many children at the border?
Yeah, I actually, Mike, you were there just maybe like 2 weeks ago. I gave a speech at a college campus. This is my second or third time now going around these universities here locally in SoCal, just kind of teaching on the ongoing border crisis. I still remember when national news media was trying to sweep it under the rug, saying this is just a temporary thing. It's a seasonal thing, even. You know, this happens. It's like the wind or like the sun. It comes in seasons.
Right,
you know,
the ebb and flow.
Yeah, so when I started digging deeper into it, I started realizing, hey, this is not what's happening. And myself, over 10 years of DHS, worked at the border. I was a Spanish interpreter there myself. So I've always kind of had an eye and an ear on the ongoing, you know, what's going on at the borders and how are my fellow DHS agents, you know, holding up and stuff. And so early on, I knew some of these policies that were being passed. And, okay, I understand why it's being called a border crisis. But even if we don't stop this now, you know, and this was, what, 2 years ago? You know, if we don't stop this now, if we don't change course, especially with Title 42, then it's going to become even worse. And this is exactly where we are now. We're at where it's not just worse, it's the worst it's ever been in recorded history.
Right.
Never have these numbers exploded so high. And now we have this report that is extremely shocking. It's disheartening. Obviously, you know, people can play politics with it, that you know, to each your own. But it's and I said this, you know, to the college students two weeks ago. It's as a journalist, you know, we have my independent hat on. I am conservative at heart. I tend to vote more Republican. California, those options are less and less, it seems, you know. But the argument here is that. I just posted on my socials, where are the activists? Where are the people outcrying? And so now you have 85,000 children. Axios, and this is all updated information because just 2 weeks ago, I didn't have these numbers yet. And I had the only real thing that I could work with was the Axios report from 2022, early 2022 or late 2021, where they reported that a third of the children were missing. But then we didn't have a gauge on how many children there was.
Right, exactly. What was that one third? What did that even mean?
Exactly. Now we're looking at numbers. It's you know, over 85,000 children have just gone missing. You know, and this is just like a small excerpt from the article itself. And again, it's really disheartening. And it says, unaccompanied migrant children remain in the custody of Office of Refugee Resettlement until they are placed with a parent or sponsor. But the agency, quote, does not monitor or track the whereabouts of children after they are released from our care. It says we check on all minors by calling them a month after they begin living with their sponsors. But that showed that over the last 2 years, the agency could not reach more than 85,000 children. And, you know, if you're really plugged in with kind of like the anti-human trafficking and all that, you know, that it entails, and it's disheartening because it's not just happening to adults, it's happening to children as well. Here we have 85,000 children. Project Veritas did a really good report on that where they actually tracked down some of these minors that were coming into the United States. And it turns out that, you know, these sponsors are not family. You know, it turns out that these sponsors are being paid by the cartel to pretend that they are family or aunts or distant relatives of these children. And they're asking the children, you know, on camera, is this really your aunt? Is this really your uncle? And they're saying, you know what? My mom insists that, you know, this is an aunt just moved to America when I was at a young age, but I don't remember this aunt. Like, they never really talked about her until recently. And so it's an exploitation. You know, it's cartel funded, and now you have 85,000 children, and it turns out that a lot of these minors are being sold into child prostitution here in the United States.
Right here, and that's human trafficking that's coming across our border and absolutely being facilitated by our own government. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mike, you had a terrible story that you mentioned the other day about the little girl who was found, the 8-year-old girl.
Yeah. You know, I had read a story the other day. It was an 8-year-old girl that showed up. I want to say it was possible. I think it was Laredo, somewhere around there. And she had 67 separate samples of DNA within her.
Like on her body and also in her body.
Correct. And yeah. That's the terrible atrocity that we're faced with. You know, when you see the reports that say 350,000 unaccompanied minors have come to our border since the Biden administration began. And, you know, like you talked about at the college 2 weeks ago, that doesn't even account for the getaways.
Right.
You know, you've got 85,000 unaccompanied minors that we can't locate. We have 350,000 that have showed up to the border. But how many tens of thousands of gotaways are out there right now? You know, and it's being facilitated again by our own government, both federally and state. You know, when we're looking at these ridiculous bills that are coming out of Sacramento from the likes of Scott Wiener and Evan Lowe.
Oh, yeah, and we'll get into those later on those bad bills. They're just making this, you know, commonplace. Tell us what you mean by gotaways.
Well, I think you're the better.
Yeah, so basically the gotaways are it's so interesting, like the way it all breaks down. So you got the people that obviously come to the border and are detected and you know, a lot of them just turn themselves in because they know, look, we've overwhelmed the system so much that the moment we turn ourselves in, we're more than likely going to be released into the country. We're going to be given a court date, and then it's up to us whether we want to show up or not. And mm-hmm. if not, they don't have a way to track us, right? And then the known gotaways are the people that basically cross the border into the U.S. that got away into the U.S. because there's not enough resources. So these are places where they were picked up either by a radar or a camera or a sensor of
some
sort.
Like those pictures we see of the heat sensors showing those people crossing the Rio Grande, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Drones, you know, aerial surveillance. Mm-hmm. And so those are the people that were picked up by that but that were never apprehended. So those are the known cutaways. And then you got the complete gotaways, the ones that no one knows because they're not detectable, right? But they know that those happen. They know that there's people that are coming that just completely undetected, you know? And I'm sure because this is a global network of human trafficking into the United States because you have over 50 countries coming into, you know, Chinese, Russian, Ukrainian, anyone and anything. Actually, at that same speech, I was talking about how there's like a – what was it, like a 400-500%? No, it was an 800% increase in Chinese nationals.
Yeah, I think it was actually more than that.
Right. Yeah. And again, those are the people that are apprehended. Then you got the known gotaways, and then you got the people that are just completely – we have no idea where these people are.
Mm-hmm. Right. The border's just awash in people. Yeah. Absolutely. When we have these porous openings in the border and the – really, our administration is not interested in doing anything about it. In fact, what's going on with needing extra money all of a sudden or needing a whole bunch of extra resources to handle this problem they've created? Mike, you mentioned something about that.
Right. You know, I think a lot of the people out there aren't aware. They're not watching C-SPAN Monday through Friday. They're not seeing that Secretary Mayorkas has been called in front of Congress to testify. And he's sitting there having the audacity to say that, well, number one, there isn't a border crisis. And number two, he's asking for the numbers were something like a 340% increase in funding to DHS and border security so that they can deal with this. And this is a man who has been so poor at his job. And I'm continually shocked every day that he has not been impeached for the lack of any sort of I don't even know what to say. Like he's not doing his job, and to sit there in front of Congress and lie, right? You're lying in front of Congress and ask for that kind of money for the numbers that I just said, you know, 350,000 unaccompanied minors. And then I don't know if anybody else saw it this week. Now we have the vulnerable persons, the bill that was introduced by who is it? Jay Paul and Cory Booker, I believe, that says that illegal aliens who identify as LGBTQ may not be detained anymore under the Democrats' new bill because they're qualifying themselves as vulnerable persons.
When you look at it, isn't any undocumented migrant who's traveled so far under all these aren't they all vulnerable? But now you're going to be able to put on a dress and say you're LGBTQ and evade any type of detention.
Right.
Is that what is really going to happen?
Right. Well, you know what's so interesting is that a couple years ago I was in downtown Los Angeles and I was I forget what kind of protest it was, but I got to meet with some local reporters there, and I was talking to a Fox LA guy, a camera guy. I was just asking him about his equipment. What do you think about the protest? You know, he's an older gentleman, so he's like, oh, I've been in business since the 80s, you know. And I asked him, you know, what was one of the most interesting things that you covered? And what he told me, this is even before like any of this, told me, he's like, one of the craziest things I saw was I remember covering a caravan maybe back like in the 90s or something like that. And he's like, and so we were following these caravans, and one of the things that we saw, like caravan of migrants, meaning they're coming up to the U.S., and they said, I remember that we followed them from the beginning all the way, you know, to the U.S. border. And one of the things he said, the most surprising, the most shocking thing to me was that there was a place in Mexico where we were not allowed inside this huge, like, complex. Like, it was like almost like a construction complex. So he's like – and, like, in the middle of it, it looked like apartment buildings. We later learned that it's the immigrants talking to lawyers. Mm-hmm. And so because it's, you know, attorney privilege with the client, us as the news are not allowed into the compound, et cetera. Like, but what I noticed in a specific set of things is that the lawyers would break everyone up. They're like, okay, can I have my families? Can I get my unaccompanied minors? Can I get, you know, this? And he's like, and then I need all the adult males that are single. I need you guys in this specific line. And he's like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting that they're only taking away the adult males. He's like, I later learned that those are the people that usually don't make it. They come into the U.S. and like, you're a working adult male. You have no family. You're going to have to go back. You know, like there's nothing wrong with you, you know. Mm. But what would happen is they go into these offices and they would come out, you know, ready to get into the bus to get into the U.S. dressed as women.
Hmm.
And so what they were telling these males is like, if you really want a shot, you're going to have to say that you're fleeing persecution because you're gay or because you're trans or because whatever. And this is back in like in the 90s. So imagine now this right here, this is just going to open up the floodgates, because now it's not so much that, you know, we could believe that people are being persecuted. Now, and sure, there are, you know, I mean, I guarantee that it's happening. But the way the U.S. has now navigated the LGBTQism is that now you just have to identify. You don't even have to look the part. You just have to say it.
Right.
And that's enough for it to be like, oh, okay, then you qualify. But even then, there's like a list of vulnerabilities. If you're under the age of 21, you're now a vulnerable immigrant. If you have limited English, you are a vulnerable immigrant. And I'm just like,
wait a minute. What's the percentage there?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, what's going on here? And then if you're over the age of 65, if you're too old, if you're hurt, if you are LGBTQ, but the bill itself says if you identify as LGBT. So you can just show up and be like, hey, I identify as LGBTQ. And they're like, okay, we can't detain you according to this new bill.
This is the latest in the LGBTQ, TIA, et cetera, the agenda that is infiltrating every single part of our society right now, even down to illegal immigration. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that later, about how that's infecting the bills in California.
But it's not just it's not just as a standpoint within the United States. It's the it's a global agenda now, because now we're seeing that the United Nations, is trying to promote and decriminalize pedophilia, right?
Oh, yeah.
And as it stands right now, 7.2% of Americans identify as some form of LGBT. I mean, if we have this consistent influx of persons identifying as LGBT, right? We have persons fleeing persecution from other. Countries, other continents, what is our own population going to look like? Are we going to be – are our children going to be safe in public schools?
Right.
Right? Are they going to be safe at the playground? Mm-hmm. Right? If we have this constant influx of unmitigated migration, or some will call it invasion, you know, within probably the next 5 to 7 years, we'll have at least 10% or more of the United States of America persons living here identifying as some sort of LGBT. So I think that's a dangerous trend that we're walking down. Not to say that, you know, being homosexual or anything like that is a dangerous aspect, but the persons entering our country having no knowledge of where they come from, what they've done, what crimes they may have committed. That is dangerous. That's gonna set a dangerous precedent for America going forward.
Absolutely. And you can't vet these people. We talked about that last legislative session about the notion of illegal immigrants being allowed to become police officers.
Yeah.
How do you vet those people? How do you get background checks on those people? You don't.
No.
So this is all weakening our society, weakening our own safety of American citizens.
Yeah, and that was the problem that when I was talking to Border Patrol, when I've been down there a couple times, even after I left the military, I've gone down there as independent journalist.
And when you go, where do you go?
All over. We've been to Yuma, Arizona. We've been to Eagle Pass. We've been to McAllen, Texas. We've been to the Rio Grande. We've been to El Paso, Texas, right next to Juarez, Mexico, which is considered the most dangerous place on earth, is Juarez, Mexico.
Right.
And you could hear the gunfights at night, because it's just cartel wars ongoing, because they need to control the territory where the migrants are coming through. Because if you control the territory and where the migrants are coming through, then you're getting a piece of the action that is the global human trafficking aspect. And it's we're talking to these Border Patrol, exactly what you just talked about. How do you vet these people? And what they were telling me, these people show up with what might look like real IDs. But the problem is that a lot of third world countries, see, here in the United States, you're able to tell a fake ID from a real ID. If you try to show a cop, a fake ID, they're either going to pick up on it right away, or we have machines that detect fake IDs. In third world countries, none of that exists. So you can make an ID in a third world country, and it'll be a real ID. But it's because that entire department is bought off, or because the cartel own these machines that make these fake IDs. Now, you can't make – in Mexico, you can't make a fake – I mean, I'm sure there might be, but they probably use it in very slim circumstances to guarantee safe passage to someone, right? But they're not just handing – U.S. IDs to every single migrant. Like, okay, wait a minute. Like, why is there so many?
And why does it say McLovin?
It's like a note from Epstein's mom from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Exactly.
Like, why McLovin? Like, well, it was between that or Muhammad. Why would it be that?
Right.
No, yeah. And that's what they're afraid of. Is like, look, we can pick up this ID and they can say, this is who I am. We just have no idea because we don't even have machines here to, like, at the border, like, all right, let me scan your ID.
Right.
Oh, okay, you're good to go. There's no system in place, and it's very scary. I mean,
even as a former police officer, I mean, every person that I would come into contact with, the only form of ID that I ever presented me with was the voter ID card that they would get in their country. And even that was next to impossible to verify because, well, does this voter ID card say their mother's maiden name or their father's name, both names? And it's so maddening trying to identify people even when they have an ID.
Yeah.
And how would you be responsible to know all the various types of ID that might come from any certain country? How are you supposed to be educated on that?
Yeah. Exactly.
So we might, I'm wondering, we probably, if we have any questions from listeners out there, I want to invite you to join the conversation here that we're having. The number to call in the studio is this. Get ready. It's 866-870-5752. That's 866-870-5752. Join the conversation. If you have a question for Anthony or Mike, be interesting to hear what people are thinking about this particular issue. We got a break coming up in a little bit, but I wanted to turn to Mike specifically about, illegal immigration and its effect on Southern California and even right here in Los Angeles. And what you see as the future in LA if these waves, these numbers of illegal immigrants keep coming through?
It's not going to be good. I mean, right now, take it as from a law enforcement standpoint. Right now, the Los Angeles Police Department, for example, where there are about 9,100 officers right now, right, down from about 1,000 when Mayor Villaraigosa was in office. This year alone, they're slated to lose approximately 600 officers due to retirement and or just resigning because of a lack of morale, the way the department is run, the way the mayor is, and the city council. So over the course of the next few years, you're going to see a gigantic sort of swing in how the LAPD operates because they just don't have enough people. Now, on top of that, you're going to have essentially a – tsunami of other citizens coming into the county. And how are we going to deal with that? I have no idea. You know, Los Angeles is supposed to host, what, the World Cup, I believe? Mm-hmm. And we have the Olympics coming up in 2028. Mm-hmm. And by all metrics, Karen Bass wants to have a police force of 12,000 Los Angeles police officers. That's just it's an impossibility. There is no way that that's going to happen currently how things are set up. And I'm straying away from your question. Because
relevant. I mean, it's all absolutely what we are facing in LA.
Right. You know, but we have the mandates that are still in place, which is preventing good candidates from joining the city of Los Angeles. It's actually detrimental to still have this in place because good candidates, people of high moral value, are not applying to be police officers within the city of Los Angeles. And they can throw whatever they want at the prospective applicants, but you're going to keep seeing a demise in the level of policing going forward.
Absolutely. And we're going to come back in a little bit and we're going to talk about that vax mandate that remains for LA City and the trouble it's causing for recruiting in all departments after the break. So stay with us here on the LA Hispanic Republican Club radio show. And we are back. For those of you just joining us, you are here on the LA Hispanic Republican Club radio program. And tonight in studio, we have Anthony Cabasa, Michael McMahon, and just joining us, Don Monroe from CNM Metals, our sponsor. So we're all talking about everything that's going on these days with the border crisis we just mentioned and what's been happening, how that's going to affect LA. And during the break, we were talking about what you were saying, Mike, what we wanted to talk about, the focus on where are the conservatives, right? Where are the conservatives speaking out about a lot of these issues that we talk about on the show, but we're just not hearing enough about in the mainstream? It's not even mainstream, but even in conservative media, we've heard a lot about Dylan Mulvaney constantly lately. And why is that? And why aren't we hearing more about the border or whatever? And when are we going to run out of Dylan Mulvaney material?
Right. I'm so sick and tired of that man.
No, but it's true. You know, I was saying in the break, it's, you know, whether it's, you know, Ben Shapiro or Matt Walsh or Benny Johnson, you know, like all these conservative influencers who fancy themselves to be good journalists, they're taking this reassignment of the Anheuser-Busch vice president as some sort of gigantic win. But the fact of the matter is, and what I said in the break, is that in 5 weeks, I guarantee there's going to be a rainbow can on the shelves of every liquor store in America. And what happens then? You know, we take our foot off of the gas and we let them get comfortable again, and we get comfortable. You know, it's a lot. I equate it to, you know, when the NFL and the MLB went woke. You know, we sat out a season or two, but now most of those people are back on their teams.
I have some perspective on that. Well, not perspective, but having a thought on this. I've been seeing some of the commercials from some, you know, it's here, we're in a capitalist country, and there are some companies coming out with kind of, I wouldn't say that's necessarily anti-woke, but it's going back to traditional American values and kind of promoting and advertising to the traditional American person who shares in those values, because you don't have to be American to share those values.
No.
And, you know, there was one I saw this morning I shared with a lot of my family members where it shows like a young girl talking about all the things that her dad used to tell her growing up about, you know, you can do it, you can do anything, you know, you're the
yes.
best, you're,
I
right?
know what you're talking
you know what
about.
Talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And she's building up to the fact that she wants to, you know, compete at a
she's
very
a
high
runner.
Level. She's a runner.
She's a runner.
Right?
She's saying, Dad told me.
I think it was an insurance company or something. But the point I'm getting at is
a watch company.
It was a watch company. That's right. Watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are things that, you know, corporations should push and take advantage of as well. If Anheuser-Busch, you know, which is not even an American company anymore, is going to promote and push the destruction and to, you know, our deterioration of our moral ethical code here in this country, then other companies should step up.
Yeah.
And I think that would be intelligent. I think it would help a lot. I think it would move their money and say, you know what? And we saw, like, you know, Kid Rock shooting with his, you know, machine gun or
that's
whatever
right.
it was.
But that's
I don't know what they call it.
That's all for clicks.
It is for clicks. You know? It is for clicks. But at the end of the day, it is it's kind of like an alley-oop, you know? Like, where do you take it from there? Like you're saying, like, you know, oh, man, in 5 weeks, these people are going to be back right. drinking their rainbow beer, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that companies should start positioning themselves. And look, beer is a highly competitive market.
Sure.
One of the fastest growing industries for a very long time was the independent breweries,
yep.
right? And I think that these breweries could benefit tremendously by, you know, pushing or advertising and building a brand that goes back to these traditional types of values. That's my thought. And I think that doesn't have to just be in the beer, you know, arena. It can be in other areas. But I don't know. It's just yeah. me thinking.
One aspect that I've seen and in talking with people that own businesses. So I just partner up with Public Square, kind of building that parallel economy, right?
Fantastic corporation.
Yeah. Great corporation. Yeah. Talk with them. Their team is great. So
tell our listeners, what's Public Square?
Yeah. So Public Square is basically exactly what you're talking about, building a parallel economy. So you can download the app. You know, it's free. And then even if you're a business owner, but it's like America First companies, people that are patriots, you can just download it for free and you can even register your company so that other people can find you. This is not a paid advertisement, by the way. This is just something we've all shared it. We've all talked about it. But this is the way America is going.
I'll show the people watching on Instagram. I mean, here's Public Square. I've got it on my phone.
Yeah, it's great. I believe it or not, I actually have a friend. Quick story. I have a friend that he quit the influencer world. He was doing like podcasts and stuff like that. He came up with a health insurance company. It's called the America First Health Insurance Company. He bought the name out, like they were kind of like going down or whatever. He bought the name, put it up on Public Square, mm-hmm. got discovered by America First Patriots, mm-hmm. and now he last I spoke to him, he's like, I'm making more money than I've ever made because I went to Public Square because people are sick, even health insurance. But the point that I wanted to make with what you were saying is like, why aren't breweries kind of like taking out the opportunity? Believe it or not, there's a lot of people that said, well, I just don't want to take a political stance.
Man, look, France is tearing itself apart for raising the Social Security age from what, 62 to 64?
60,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Or whatever.
They're like rioting in the streets.
They're rioting.
Over that.
And here we are. I mean, literally, we're being just castrated.
But what I was going to say to that is that's the issue. You still have people, unfortunately, that just want to close their eyes and say, wake me up when it's all over.
Right.
I've literally had those comments left on my stuff. Whenever I post something that, like, hey, this bill is being passed or this. Republicans and conservatives are like, I just want to close my eyes, wake me up when we're back. And I'm like, but we are not going back.
You're right. We don't have the luxury anymore. No one has the luxury of saying, oh, I'll let somebody else do it. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to stick my neck out. And what we find actually when you do take a stand, when you do stick your neck out, when you do make America First statements, you get results. You get business. You get people electing you. And we had we were talking about a quote the other day. Why is it that Republicans and conservatives lose the argument right now on, for example, abortion, when only 23% of people in this country actually go along with the radical Democrat policies on abortion? And yet, why is that the leading argument right now? Where are the conservative voices standing up? So I'm not saying we have to segue into abortion, but what I think we do see is when you make take a stand, when you're the independent brewer who comes out with that mm-hmm. statement, when you change your advertising, you reach the massive number of America First people in this country who really hold these same values.
Absolutely.
Now, they made it very – it's very basically very inexpensive for them to make mistakes. I mean, the Bud Light thing is probably, you know, one of the first really massive things to blow back and say, whoa, we just went after an audience and try to shove this down that audience's throat, and they were just like, absolutely not.
We're not having it.
Why does our beer have to be woke? I mean, we're already watching this dang TV. We already see the stuff that we have to watch.
In a sense, that's why you're purchasing beer, because you're literally watching Clown World. So you need to, like, you know, get buzzed or drunk to just be able to witness the downfall of the West.
But, I mean, you know, going to your point about influencers, I think that they're – and I was watching something with Charles Schwab speaking on the World Economic Forum.
You mean Klaus.
Klaus Schwab.
You got to eat the bugs.
He had like the five levels of basically influencing the world, basically. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the media is obviously one that he doesn't speak too much on because we know what they do. or don't do. But he talks
about easy there, Kanye.
He talks about all the other levels in our society, though. You know, from education, right? I mean, education is so expensive. But what are they really getting? They're getting indoctrination at all levels, and yet, you know, and at the same time, it's a double whammy because they're getting they're not getting their money's worth. They're being totally put into debt, and on top of it, they, you know, you come out of college, and not to knock it, all right, but you come out. And you have to just believe that I didn't just drop $50,000, $60,000, or $100,000 for a piece of paper that's worthless.
Well, the problematic thing with colleges, and I'll just take this really quickly. The problematic thing with colleges and the indoctrination that we're seeing in them is once you remove the sciences from the colleges, once you start importing, you know, deans or chancellors or whatever they are whose majors were, you know, literature or something of that nature,
right,
you're going to have a softer college, right? And once you stop teaching the sciences,
right,
that's where you get this indoctrination nation coming in.
Well, this is what Schwab was speaking about, yeah, as far as influencing the world, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, influencers, I get what you're saying. You know, a lot of them, they come up, they want to grab the hottest, the big things with the most hype because that's what's trending and they need those clicks or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you know, I guess the next level would be able to get people to actually become activated. You know, if they can become, yeah, activated. And, you know, they have such a big audience. I mean, you got – some of them are the entire U.S. or even, you know, outside the U.S. as well. Those have to happen within clubs and organizations on a local level. I mean, politics is local. And you got to get these people kind of activated on a local level and how they engage in the politics. And these politicians, they say, okay, oh, Candace is speaking about this, no big deal. No one's calling me about it. No one's calling my office and saying, you know what, shame on you. I'm done with this. You know, good luck in the next elections because you're not getting my vote. If they got more of those types of calls, they'd be like, dang, this is kind of getting toxic. It's my future is not necessarily certain in politics. On top of it, I mean, I hate going into the whole, you know, voter integrity type stuff, but there are things coming out now where the investigative journalist was coming out talking about how money has been infiltrated, not infiltrated, but basically laundered to some extent through the, is it Vote Blue or Blue? Yeah.
Wait, Act what? Blue. Money laundering in politics? Don?
No
what,
way.
Are you kidding me?
First I've ever heard of this.
But there's some senior citizens that are donating $300,000-$400,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just like, no, that wasn't me. It's like, are you sure?
I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about Project Veritas.
He's no longer with Veritas, but he's gone independent.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. So it's James O'Keefe. I'm sorry, yeah.
Right.
Nothing to do with
Project Veritas. I don't know what
Project
he calls it now, but I think it's just his name.
I think it's called ONG.
Yeah,
okay.
O'Keefe Media Group.
But I was sitting there like, this is crazy. And these people, he's going up to him like, did you donate? He's like, yeah, I donated $5 last, you know. And they're like, okay, well, did you do that five times a day for 365 days straight? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
As a
maybe your wife. Did you want to bring her out here and ask her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't, honey.
So just for context, like people, what he's talking about is, so this independent journalist, James O'Keefe, previously of Project Veritas, he discovered.
Yeah, I mean, the founder of Project Veritas.
Right.
He's the man of Project Veritas.
He was, right? And now it's no longer, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But so he discovered through public record that people's addresses were being tied to large lumped donations to Democrats to Secure Blue. I think that's what it's called. Because WinRed is – or ActBlue, yeah.
Yeah.
ActBlue, because WinRed is for Republicans. And they decided to go to these homes and say, hey, according to these records, you've donated over 50,000 to Democrats just this year alone.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands. Yeah, 300,000, 400,000. And anyone can do this because you can just go to like the online records and just see like, okay, this address is tied to how much money? And then when you go ask the homeowner, they're like, yeah, I donate every month. Sure. You know what I mean? To like a couple candidates. $5 to like a senator, $5 to like a mayor, you know, that are Democrat. Hey, to each your own, right? That you want to continue to vote Democrat and be part of the downfall of America? That's okay. That's your prerogative. But when they come to ask them, but have you donated $50,000? They're like, no, absolutely
right.
Not. Mm-hmm. And like, well, someone is. And again, now it goes from the question is, where's the influencers? Where are the congressmen and the congresswomen calling on this to be investigated? To this day, I've yet to see a single – but you know why? I think it's because, sure, James O'Keefe, right, primarily in blue states targeting Democratic donors. I'm sure it's happening in Republican states.
You think?
Republican, yeah. Why hasn't any Republican called for major investigations on this? This is – This is earth-shattering that,
really
there, that there are addresses tied to hundreds of thousands of dollars that the people say, I've lived here 30 years, 40 years. This is a family generational home. We've never donated that amount of money. Well, somebody is. Right. Who is?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, the American public is getting
Dylan Mulvaney to death.
We're getting
distracted.
Exactly. Yeah. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this quick advertisement, real quick.
It just goes back to like the meme of the Austin Powers meme, where like Dr. Evil says like, "Oh, they just discovered that we've been using like you know Act Blue to launder money." Right. It was like, "Release Dylan Mulvaney."
Exactly.
Release Dylan Mulvaney.
Release the trans shooter.
Yeah.
Speaking of people speaking out, I want to say we've got a couple calls sitting here with questions.
Ooh.
So I want to take one of. We have Mike in El Segundo, who's been waiting patiently for a long time. Mike, you've got some comments about the border, do you?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah, and by the way, I'm a former El Segundo City Councilman.
Thank you for calling in.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, you're welcome. We've been told, even going back to the 90s, we've been told we don't have enough resources in the U.S. and California, that we don't have enough water. Obviously, we have the recent rains, but we do go through the drought cycles. We've been told we don't have enough infrastructure in general, like, landfills, they say, we're producing too much trash, they claim, and that sewage capacity for sewage plants, all this stuff. And yet the Democrats have purposely opened up the borders to bring in millions and millions more illegal aliens, while at the same time they're telling us that we have to pay more taxes and higher fees for all our utilities and for everything because there's not enough electricity, not enough water, not enough everything.
Exactly.
So clearly, the Democrats are trying to destroy America and the system, to overload the system. And that goes back to the 1960s strategy of two Marxist or communist sociology professors. Cloward was the last name of one of them, their husband, wife, Cloward. The other one was the last name Piven, Piven. Yeah. Anyone could do an internet search for Cloward Piven strategy to mm-hmm. overload the system. And they published an article, a fairly lengthy article, in, I think it was 1966, I believe, in The Nation magazine, which is a Marxist publication and in America. And they focused on the welfare system. So they wanted to get as many people who are eligible for welfare as possible to sign up, even if they didn't want it or didn't need it, or they felt it was shameful to be on welfare. So that was their goal, which the Democrats are still pushing to this day, where they keep advertising at taxpayer expense to urge people to sign up for welfare and CalFresh, the California version of food stamps, claiming that it's a wonderful, cheerful thing to do. There's no shame in it when there should be a lot of shame in it. So the bottom line is this illegal alien, massive illegal immigration coming to our country is part of a larger overall effort from the Democrat Party, which is now the Communist Party of America today, basically.
Amen.
To overload all our infrastructure, healthcare, everything, just destroy everything, and then claim that, well, economic freedom, free markets don't work. We have to have more government control.
More emergencies.
Centralized planning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is all by design. They're destroying our country. They're the domestic enemies of the Democrat Party. And today, the Democrat Party is the largest, most powerful, and most dangerous and potentially genocidal Marxist Communist Party in America.
Thank you, Mike. That is absolutely right on. That's one of the reasons that we have this show, for example, on
right.
the Hispanic Republican Club show, because we need to emphasize to people that it is these Democrat policies that are crushing this country, that are crushing American citizens, and that are absolutely doing just what you said, to bring down this country, right? And we need to reach out. That's why we need to reach out and remind people the values of the Republican Party and the conservatives that are trying to save this country, and how, we hear people saying, well, the Democrat Party left me, right? As the radical policies become even more radical. That's why we have to keep exposing them. So thank you so much for that perspective.
Oh, you're welcome. And also the inflation that Joe Biden and the Democrats created through spending trillions and trillions of dollars, just creating, effectively counterfeiting trillions and trillions of new dollars that did not exist before and diluting the value of everyone else's currency. That also is intentional by design. That is to destroy our currency, destroy our economy. They're trying to literally destroy America, so they think out of the ash heap that they will create out of a otherwise wonderful system, that then they will take total control, have unlimited power, And they want communism not only to be because they're on a power trip. That's part of it. Once they have total unlimited power, they can steal everything from everyone. All our homes, all our bank account balances.
Oh, yes,
our
retirement, everything. Yep, we've been told that already, right? You know, you're going to own nothing and you'll be happy.
Right, the Agenda 23. What a fantastic call, Michael. Thank you for the call. I mean, where else do you hear about Cloward Piven? Right? Not many
right?
Not many people know about it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier today about where are our resources going? Why are we living in a first world country with such scarcity? It's because of the unchecked immigration. It is taxing our resources. It is taxing our roads, our infrastructure. For decades, they've said we've had somewhere between, 11 to 22 million illegal aliens in this country.
Yeah.
And over the course of the last 2 years, we've got tens of millions of illegals entering our country. And it is only and where are they going? They're going to the warmer climates, like here in Southern California. And it is taxing our resources so much so that, the Los Angeles area or California altogether lost over 500,000 residents last year alone for the first time in, in the history
in
of California?
Decades and decades, absolutely.
What's so astounding, and Mike, the caller just called in, he nailed it, is that if you pay attention to Democrats, Chuck Schumer himself said the reason why we need illegal immigrants and just immigrants in general is because the birth rate of Americans, it's going in a decline. But then why are you out there, instead of incentivizing families, like Texas had,
That's
a great incentive. I don't know how that bill is doing. I haven't kept track of it. But they're saying the more kids you have, the less taxes you pay because we want you to have children. On the other end, that's a conservative solution, right? It's like, hey, we want to give you less taxes. We want to give you incentives, school choice. We want you guys to be a powerful family unit. We want American babies. We want American families to thrive, et cetera, et cetera. The Democrat solution is we need millions of illegal immigrants, but also Americans, abort your babies up to 9 months.
100%.
Even if your baby is 8 months, abort them. Abort them immediately because of climate change, because the sea is rising and we need you to abort your babies. Think about the carbon footprint. But also, because we're not having enough American babies that can take care of all these jobs, we're going to start importing millions and millions of immigrants. And when we talk about how that looks like at the local level, well, the reason why there's no more pushing for, $15 an hour, $20 an hour is because if you have illegal immigrants or even migrants that are new to the country, they're not fighting for $30 an hour. They're happy that they get a livable wage, which – hey, maybe to some people, $15 an hour is a livable wage, but I was raised, right, as a son of an immigrant parent. I saw two, three, four people live in an apartment building, and to them, that's living.
Sure.
To them, like, hey, it's normal for us to live six people, eight people in
especially,
a two-bedroom apartment.
Especially if they come over as a family because
absolutely.
They come here with the mindset that they need to take care of family back home.
Correct.
So if they all, even if they were all making, $12 an hour, let's call it 12, and there's four or five of them, well, massive multiplier, and they're all sending money back home.
Mm-hmm.
And the family back at home is greatly appreciative of what it is that they're able to, the lifestyle they're able to give to the family back at home. They get medicine, they get food, they get to go to better schools. And so they make that sacrifice.
Right.
It's a major sacrifice. But, of course, what people don't talk about sometimes also is just the massive, we'll call it it's not necessarily grooming, but there are those industries that have taken advantage of that as well. Now, we talk about fair, what's fair out there? I mean, now you go to Home Depot and you want to get some helpers and some of them are not documented. They want to make $30 an hour. They're like, I'm not getting in this truck and moving anything for $30 an hour. So obviously inflation has played, it's a big issue now. It's like they come here with all the rights, right, of American citizens. And American citizens are sitting there like, why am I working so hard now? And I know people who were hard, construction workers who've been doing it for 30 years. And they're just like, they're so discouraged to even go out there. Just like, I'm not going to work so hard. I'm just going to collect my own, whatever, my disability, whatever. They're going to fake a disability claim or whatever it is they're going to do because they're just discouraged. And all these policies, whether it's tax or just local government policy, these are to incentivize or disincentivize people with their actions. I mean, Donald Trump spoke about all the time. He's like, I use those tax loopholes. Whatever those loopholes are, they're there by design to promote a certain activity. If they want developers to develop, best believe the tax laws are going to – the tax code is going to be around pushing development. If they want people not to, it's going to be against, right? Right? And so same when we had when Bush Jr. was in office. He had a lot of things to have accelerated depreciation. So everybody in business who wanted to grow their business, buy an oven for their restaurant or buy forklifts or machinery, they were able to make massive investments, and they took advantage of those laws. A lot of states mirrored the federal side, and it benefited on both sides, the federal and the state. California has actually gone backwards and said, we're not really going to be incentivizing these things as much. So you're paying a lot of tax in California. Even the green policies. Our company went, we applied for a grant. Guess what? You know, you get this grant money. Likely it came from the federal government. So sure. It comes into California. They say, hey, we're going to give you $300,000 to go electric on whatever it is. You know, you got trucks one truck can cost you $300,000. Yeah. We're going to give you this money. But guess what? The state of California is going to 1099 you. And you know what? You're not going to be able to bonus depreciate that expense. So on the federal side, you can, but California is keeping that money. Mm-hmm. California is pushing all this green stuff because they get to 1099 these companies and they get to keep the money here in California. So it's another way of pushing this agenda, but at the same time, follow the money. It's really the policies of California are taxing all this green stuff going on here.
Well, what happened to our $100 billion surplus? I mean, we're now $20 billion in the hole.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Tomato, tomato. I mean, they move a number right here or there, you know?
We're moving numbers on this show because we're approaching our 9 o'clock hour. We'll do some little commercials and come back after our station announcements. And join us again on the LA Hispanic Republican Club show in just a moment.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.